I'm very thrilled to have a welcome guest return to WMUK to talk about a concert this Sunday. My guest is Dr. Scott Borma, the director of bands at Western Michigan University, and this is a special concert bringing together two bands. Welcome, Scott.
Thank you. Great to be here, as always.
So tell us about what's planned on Sunday.
Yeah, every November, the Sunday before Thanksgiving, the concert band and the symphonic band get together and put on a joint concert, and primarily music majors in both ensembles, and just a great way to usher in the holidays.
Big noise.
Yes, exactly.
With a lot of delightful music that we'll be getting into, perhaps we could sort of cut to the chase right away and listen to a highlight. What would you suggest?
Yeah, well, we open the symphonic band portion of the concert with a very famous piece by Leonard Bernstein, the overture to his operetta Candide.
What a delightful transcription of the overture to Candide by Leonard Bernstein. My guest is Dr. Scott Borma, who will be conducting the University Symphonic Band on Sunday, but not conducting this overture.
Yeah, it was hard to give up, but graduate student in wind conducting, John Leonard, will be conducting that piece to start our portion of the concert.
He is a graduate student, John Leonard.
Right, working on his master's degree. He's going to be Master of Music in April.
Terrific, terrific. It's wonderful to see young conductors come up as well
Absolutely.
As young musicians. And this piece, if I could focus on that for a
sure.
minute, it really works as a transcription. You really don't miss the strings that
right.
much.
Right, yeah. There's some pieces that work and some pieces that don't, and this one has certainly stood the test of time. It's a very common piece for ensembles, band ensembles to play.
And for those listeners who might remember television shows in the 60s, 70s,
yeah.
early 80s. Who was it that used pieces
the
from?
The Dick Cavett Show, his talk show. I remember as a kid, he would come on the stage and there'd be this little quirky boom, 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 ping, boom, ping, ba-da-dum, ping. And I just found that so engaging. I remember asking my dad, what is that tune? And we had to look it up and realized at the time it was Bernstein from Candide.
Well, and I bet Dick Cavett was a pal
yeah.
of Leonard Bernstein.
Probably.
Yeah. His music is so fun and so re-listenable. I just had a discussion about this very piece with the Kalamazoo Junior Symphony conductor a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, it's very, very popular with orchestras and bands, has been since it came out.
Well, you mentioned earlier that you're sharing this concert with the University Concert Band, so let's mention David Montgomery
right.
and what he's programmed.
Yeah, he's got a very diverse set of three pieces, an almost brand new piece by Daniel McCarthy called Comets in Winter Sky. It's kind of a very modernistic kinds of sounds, very non-traditional chords, and that's going to be conducted by our first-year graduate student in wind conducting, Vince Rubino, to start that portion of the concert out. And then part of our concert is a tribute to David Maslanka. David Montgomery will be conducting David Maslanka's Tears, which he wrote in 1994. David Maslanka was a guest composer here many years ago in the 90s for our spring conference. And so we're going to have, actually, we really avoid having more than one work on any given concert by one composer, but this time we decided it would be very appropriate. David Maslanka passed away just this past August, and he's one of the most prolific composers for wind and percussion ensemble, has some dynamic dynamic, 9 symphonies, I think 7 of which were for the concert band ensemble, and has been just a significant contributor to the repertoire for wind ensembles, and very sad to see him go. He was diagnosed just in June with a severe form of colon cancer, and his wife, Allison, died the next month, I don't know how, in July, and then David declined pretty rapidly following her passing, so he passed away in August. So the band world is mourning his departure, and so this piece, Tears, is appropriate for this tribute. It's just this gorgeous work. It's very compelling, and I think the audiences are going to find it very emotional.
Mm. It goes back to 1994.
Right.
Mr. Maslanka had a long career in writing.
Yep, absolutely. He grew up out in the East Coast, but spent a lot of his life out in Montana, so he had just a very peaceful existence and very spiritual composer. Every piece you listen to is just captivating and always tugs at your heart at some point, and this is no exception.
Well, the concert is Sunday at 3 o'clock in Miller Auditorium, and it's free, as always, and open to the public in Miller Auditorium, Sunday at 3. Details on the program are posted at the School of Music website, wmich.edu/music/events. What else can we talk about?
Well, the concert band is going to close their portion of the concert with a classic band piece by Robert Jaeger. It's called Third Suite. It was written in 1965. And it's a 3-movement piece and very quirky, changing time signatures. It's a very difficult rhythmic piece for students to grasp in a short period of time. And it got a lot of play by bands in the late 20th century and hasn't been played a whole lot lately. So we thought we'd bring that back. I should say my wife thought she'd bring that back because she was asked to conduct a number on the concert. My wife, Amy Borma, David was kind enough to ask her to. She recently retired from teaching music in the public schools, but she's now an adjunct here at Western teaching music education methods and another class in the spring. So,
well, I'm glad to see that.
Yeah, it's a family affair on Sunday.
Wonderful. I thought that name looked familiar.
Yeah.
Borma. It's funny how maybe the piece kind of went underground a bit because you don't get a lot of description out of the title, Third Suite.
Right, it's a boring title, isn't it?
You just don't know what's
coming.
The
music is far more exciting than the title. But it was so popular in the 20th century, and I think it just got played so much. Just like anything else, you hear something so much, and then you get all this new repertoire that comes along. And the band world is kind of in a huge growth spurt of new repertoire for that medium, and so things can get buried pretty easily.
Well, let's look at the University Symphonic Band portion again, as we've already listened to the Candide Overture, and up next comes the 1930 work.
Yeah,
so this is where band music was still establishing itself as its own distinct medium.
Yeah, two of the most popular pieces ever written for the concert band, or back then called military band, were by Gustav Holst, his first suite in E-flat and his second suite in F. And those pieces are still played. Probably the most popular pieces for bands in the world are those two pieces. He wrote that in the beginning of the 20th century, and it was, 19 years in between his second suite and the piece that we're going to play on Sunday called Hammersmith. And Hammersmith is a town that Holst lived in for much of his life and a very important place for him. And this particular piece was commissioned by the British Broadcasting Corporation, the BBC, for its military band. And, it was a long time in between. He wrote all kinds of orchestral pieces. Obviously, he's best known for The Planets.
Yeah.
And but his contribution to the band repertoire is really, really significant. And Hammersmith doesn't get a lot of play because, frankly, it's one of the hardest pieces in the repertoire. It's it's extremely exposed and very tricky and musically profound. It really has a great deal of depth to it. Holst was also, speaking of a spiritual person, he's similar to Maslanka in that he had a real, he grappled in his life with a dichotomy, the spiritual side of the world, the human side of the world, and this piece kind of capitalizes on his spirituality. It's the first and the beginning and the end of it are in two different keys simultaneously. They're bitonal. The low brass plays this kind of a ground bass line in F minor, while the horns play this melody, gorgeous haunting melody above it in E major. So F minor against E major. If you know your theory, that's a pretty weird combination. But he crafts it together so perfectly. If you didn't know they were in two keys, it just sound, it's just rich and haunting and inspiring. And so the prelude kind of sets this mood, and he describes it as representing the River Thames that it flows through Hammersmith, which is a borough of London, and it represents, as he says, the inexorable, unnoticed, and unconcerned river just flowing silently along. And then he goes into the scherzo, and the again in a duality that represents the Cockney street markets and the laughing, bustling crowds and boisterous, exuberant people and vulgar, and then he comes back to the river in the end. So really just intriguing piece of music.
Well, let's listen to a performance of Gustav Holst's Hammersmith, and you can hear the University Symphonic Band in concert at 3 o'clock in Miller Auditorium this Sunday. What a mysterious piece, this Hammersmith.
Yeah, we're really looking forward to presenting it on Sunday.
We've only heard about half of the piece. I presume it goes on to more interesting.
Yeah.
And
it goes back and forth from that introspective spirituality to lively and
yeah.
Jolly and juxtaposing duple and triple meters. And it's a real challenge, but a real feeling of satisfaction.
Well, you said that it's still not commonly programmed, and I can see that it just has a lot of mysteriousness.
It's commonly programmed by the best bands in the country.
I see.
I should clarify that. It's so demanding on so many different levels that it's a staple in the university repertoire, but it's pretty beyond most high school ensembles.
I see. Yeah. The playing required is really
a lot of soloists, a lot of chamber moments and
mm-hmm. Well, music you may not have heard of or heard lately by Gustav Holst, featured on Sunday with the University Symphonic Band at 3 o'clock in Miller Auditorium. And just a reminder, it's a joint concert. You also hear the University Concert Band with some music of David Maslenka and others. And as my guest Scott Borma mentioned, this concert is paying tribute to this recently deceased composer David Maslenka. It says he was born in 1943 and just died in August. One of the composers that the band world has owes a lot to
definitely.
For bringing truly original music to the medium.
Yeah, and he was just an exceptional person. Everybody that writes or talks about him just talks about his warmth and his appreciation for people playing his music. And the piece that we'll be playing with the symphonic band is a piano concerto, and
how strange!
Yeah,
wasn't expecting that.
Right, it's the timing is so perfect for us to play this. We have a brand new faculty member here at Western, Dr. Yulian Tay, and so we wanted to feature her in some way going into the year, and then especially when David passed, and the fact that the Mid-American Conference Band Directors Association, all the MAC schools, we meet regularly every year, and we contribute to consortiums of having composers write new music for the repertoire. And we happen to have commissioned David Maslenka several years ago to write this piano concerto. And it's his Concerto No. 3 for Piano and Wind Ensemble. It has a subtitle, Do You Know My Name? And I'll tell you a little bit about that in a moment. But as a part of this consortium, the Max schools have exclusive performance rights for a year. And so only the Max schools can play this piece, and we'll be either the third or fourth ensemble to play this piece on Sunday afternoon. And it's Maslanka's last major work, so it's very, you know, very appropriate to honor him by playing this on Sunday. And working with Yuliante has been so much fun. She's a delightful person and an incredible musician, just having her with the ensemble. You know, we've talked before in pieces we've played with. Our last concert we did, the Bolcom Concerto Grosso with the Prism Saxophone Quartet. And you rehearse a piece for 4 or 5 weeks without the melody. And then all of a sudden, the week of the concert, you throw in the most important part. It's always such a delight to hear the piece come to life. And so when Yulian started playing with us on Monday, it was just so much fun for myself and the students.
How it was put together.
Yeah.
Yuliante was originally a student at Western.
Right, yeah, it's a homecoming.
And then years later came back with her doctorate, and it's so nice to have her back in the Western Michigan University community.
Yeah. So, and I could tell you a little bit about the piece itself.
Right. You mentioned the title, Do You Know My Name?
Yeah. It's the opening of this concerto is devoted to the exposition of a Bach chorale melody. And I won't try to say my German very well, but it translates into 40 days after Easter. And in Maslanka's words, he says, some years ago, I used this melody as the basis for a movement of another piece, This Is the World, for two pianos and two percussionists. The essence of the movement is solo piano with vibraphone. It is an extremely inward and beautiful movement. I gave it the title, Do You Know My Name? The implication being, do you truly know who I am? Do you see my soul? And I used the end of this movement as the end of this new concerto. It starts very, again, spiritual, contemplative, and gets pretty crazy, fast and rhythmic, really rhythmic, and a lot of just cluster chords on the piano, and ends in this long passage with basically Dr. Tay and one of our vibraphonists, Matt, is going to be playing along with it, and it's just so gorgeous. And part of it, she sings along with the melody. It's just like she's in her own world, just making music and thinking about life. And boy, if you don't choke up at the end of this, it's amazing.
And that's just the first movement.
There's only one movement. Yeah, which is odd for a concerto. It's a concerto in one movement, three major parts.
Okay.
Yeah.
So sectional, but
right. Mm-hmm.
About how long is this work?
It's about 15 minutes long, I think, 16 minutes.
Unfortunately, we can't play it here.
Because we're in premiere mode. Yeah. It was performed last February at our national conference of the College Band Directors National Association, but there's not a recording available yet, so you have to come on Sunday to hear it.
Do you think that David Maslanka's personality and even a bit of his soul are contained in the piece?
I really do. He's just one of those, you know, as a composer myself, sometimes people ask you, what's your inspiration for writing music? And, you know, I think maybe, I don't know if it was Bernstein, but somebody's famous for saying that composing is 10% inspiration and 90% perspiration. And, you know, I think most composers feel like that, even though we're inspired by certain things, a lot of it is just hard work and the mechanics of putting the sounds together in a way that makes sense, sounds good, and takes the listener on a journey throughout a piece. And that's the hardest thing of it. But David Maslanka, you know, the times I've talked with him, the times other people talk to him, I truly think he lived in a world that most of it is probably 90% inspiration, because there's just a lot of soul in it.
Was it fair play for him to look back at an earlier piece and rework it?
Yeah, you think that's cheating a little bit.
I have to ask. You're a composer.
It happens. It happens often. And I think sometimes, to his credit, and to any composers who've borrowed from their earliest writings, I think sometimes composers feel like, you know, I developed that in that piece in a certain way to express a certain thing, but I'm not done with it. There's something maybe different or more, or can I expand upon it or develop in a different way, in a different vehicle? So
he's in good company.
Oh yeah,
there's
absolutely
everyone from Brahms, Mahler, Bruckner.
Absolutely. It's one thing to borrow from yourself. When you borrow from somebody else, then it's a different thing.
Just checking. My guest is Dr. Scott Borma, the director of bands at Western Michigan University and director of the University Symphonic Band, which performs Sunday at 3 o'clock in Miller Auditorium. And we've looked at the Bernstein and the Holst and the piece by David Maslenka, which is a really special tribute to this composer. Finally, we have a couple pieces, looks like, by one of my favorites, Percy Aldrich Granger.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, Holst and Granger are absolutely, without question, the two most popular composers for the wind band medium, and wrote some just real classic music. And so this concert, I was just kind of in that mood, I think, you know, to bring back some classics. And so we closed our portion of the performance. Actually, we'll close the entire event with a set of two Granger pieces, Colonial Song and the Gumsucker's March.
What would you like to hear?
Let's take a listen to Colonial Song.
Well, if you've been a member of a high-quality wind band, you have played Percy Granger. And that's one of his great pieces, the Colonial Song from 1918.
Yeah, it's a long time ago.
Well, I'm glad you're featuring one of the greats on the program, along with David Maslenka and Bernstein and Holst. It's terrific. The concert again is Sunday at 3 o'clock. Scott Borma will be directing the University Symphonic Band in the second half of the concert. It begins with the University Concert Band, led by David Montgomery and a few guest conductors. So any final words on the concert?
The last two pieces, we're playing them as if they're two movements, like a little suite of Granger, a set of Granger, if you will. And Colonial Song, as you said, was written in 1918, but he actually wrote it originally for two voices, harp, and full orchestra, and he composed it as a Christmas gift to his mother in 1911. Granger, we won't go into it, but he had a very unusual relationship with his mother.
It's worth Wikipedia-ing.
definitely check it out. He had a fondness for his mother. So he wrote this version for a military band 7 years later in 1918. And although it sounds like, you know, you would think he's an Australian composer, he was an Australian composer, a lot of his music incorporated folk tunes from England. His Lincolnshire Posy, one of his most famous pieces, is collected folk tunes. But even though this music sounds folk tune-y, it's all original music by Percy. And they're meant to express his feelings by thoughts of the scenery and people in his native land of Australia.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And he was one of the collectors, too, I believe. He traipsed around with that heavy equipment to get cylinder recordings of traditional music.
Yeah, and you can still find some of those recordings if you Google them. There's some old, just this guy sitting on a street corner singing a song, and he'd write it down and transcribe it.
One of the reasons he's still quite relevant today is that even though sometimes there's a touch of sentimentality in the pieces, he always uses a bit of his harmonization can betray his more subtle feelings about things.
Yeah, he really will take a very simple idea and just harmonize it in such a complex way. He actually called, sometimes he told it called it tone clashfulness.
Clashfulness.
Yeah.
I had never heard
that. You have
that.
These independent harmonies for various families of instruments and not necessarily coordinated, and he wasn't bothered by dissonances, but they always resolve and just kind of quirky, surprising directions he goes with it.
Well, have a wonderful concert on Sunday.
Yeah, thank you.
And it's a happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. You as well.
Want to finish with a last bit of Granger here?
Sure. Let me tell you a little bit about Gumsuckers. It's Granger was born in Victoria, which is the state in Australia, and the eucalyptus trees that are there are called gums, and the young shoots at the bottom of the trunk are called suckers.
Oh.
So Gumsuckers came to mean a young native son of Victoria. It's kind of like Ohioans are Buckeyes, similar thing. So.
That is not what I was going to guess.
Right, exactly.
I thought it was some sort of beetle
yep.
that sucks gum out of a
yep.
tree.
Yeah, that'd be more interesting, I think.
All right, we'll finish up with Granger. Scott, thank you very much for joining me on WMUK.
Thank you.